the best in the world.
I've been the best ever since day one. On this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. And trust me when I tell you, I am the hottest property in this industry today. Nobody can touch me. The only thing that's real is me, day in and day out. I am the best in the world. Do I have everybody's attention now?
Secret recipe. I've been on the precipice for eternity. Greatness stays within reach, yet so far from me. Honestly, I don't let it bother me, not my destiny. I remain content with the blessings received by family. My vanity confused with sanity. Damn it, he's out of his beautiful mind. The truth is ugly. Befuddles me while my bronze eyes create puddle streams subtly. My past huddles and cuddles wonderfully. Woe is me, gone are the days playing the victim. Went from a dog in the leash to saying sick'em. Took until I'm pushing 50s to hit the wisdom. Wasn't born with Google, got my knowledge from the dictionary. It's necessary, my intellect carries me, allows me renewed clarity. Now that the smoke has been lifted, I know my fallacy. Been a star that underachieved. Like Dallas B. Haven't been this wide-eyed since I turned 16. Now I'm almost three times that number, for to been redeemed. Now I'm three times that number, for to been redeemed. What up, people? What up, people? I said, what the f- is up, people? Welcome to another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, featuring the one and only Mike Steph, best in the world at what he does. Yeah, man. I'm back for another edition. I'm back for another week. I'm back for another episode. I'm a little perturbed. Matter of fact, that's the word of the week, perturbed. Because so many things happened in the last 40 minutes that pissed me off that I should actually be wrapping this up instead of starting the intro. A lot of, should I say, a lot of me being tongue-tied, a lot of technical issues, a little bonding with my oldest daughter, which actually doesn't make me perturbed, but that's one of the reasons why I'm still doing this. And a lot of losses. A lot of losses that affected my effing pocket. But we'll get into that later on this episode. Man, I don't even know where to start. Normally, I would start by letting you know what exactly is going to be on tap. But being the fact that exactly 4 minutes in, let's start with the intro. This week, I will let you know what's going to be on tap since I already brought it up. This week is my off-the-top, Mike Steph's off-the-top NBA preview, in which I will only be talking about two teams in particular, and then I will give
quick thoughts on various other teams in the league for this upcoming regular season that starts this coming Tuesday. I will be zeroing in on my New York Knickerbockers, and I will be giving a couple thoughts on my Golden State Warriors. Yeah. I will also get into, well, I will get into why I'm at a loss for words, or shall I say a loss for money, with another edition of Mike Steph Must Have Bumped His Mother Effing Head, a.k.a. Mike Steph's gambling forays in the National Football League action this week 8 or week 7. And sure, might as well be week 8 because I haven't won shit. And even though I did advertise last week that I was going to talk and I was going to give my thoughts on the Jada Pinkett, Will Smith situation, I had about 7 days to marinate over it. And I kind of thought and came to the conclusion that it's not really worth my time. It really isn't. Also, I've had some counsel that I actually hope to have on the podcast this week, and I wanted to broach that subject/topic, and they told me, they gave me the ixnay. So, I will give my little couple jokes. I'll get in and get out, just like she let numerous people get in and get out of her box. And I'm talking about Jada effing Pinkett. Yeah, I said it. Don't give a flying you know what. But yeah, so that's what's going to be on deck this week. Before I get this show on the road, I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me and this podcast the one y'all choose to listen to. I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for indulging in my perceived conceitedness when I'm on my fresh out the barber look. Barber chair, hi. You know, this week is growing in, but it doesn't matter because the dashing one is still that effing dashing. But I will calm down on the self-compliments this week because I actually got a full slate. And last week, I kind of got spoiled by getting in and getting out with just over an hour. So I'm going to see if I can get in and getting out under an hour and a half. So, yeah. One thing I will say, and this is probably a subject that's TMI, but if you are a longtime listener and viewer of the Saucy Thoughts of Mike Steph, you will know that a lot of information I give is probably way too much for your listening pleasure, for your viewing eyes. This past week, I went back to the shoot job, and I got back on my routine that I created over the last month and a half due to some medical stuff that I have to attend to. And even though they do say that the camera usually adds about 5 to 10 pounds, I have actually dropped at least about 12 to 14 pounds in the last month and a half. Dare I say, I'm a little svelte, if you will. Dare I say, well, I don't really have a six-pack. I don't even have a four-pack. Tell you the truth, I don't even have a deuce-deuce. But it's far from the keg that I was carrying over the summer. I've had to cut out a lot. I had to change my eating habits. Had to cut out a lot of unnecessary sugar. I've had to cut out a lot of fried food, you know, the whole nine. Now, on my break, my vacation, if you will, I won't say I cheated, but I didn't stay on the strict regimen that I had grown accustomed to the month prior. You know, we went, I told y'all last week, we went to Carmine's for my youngest daughter, Main Event Kay's birthday. You know, so I indulged in pasta for like 3 days because we had less rovers galore. Then we had the birthday party of little cousin Kaka. And I indulged in some of that good ass food in there too. Had some seafood salad. I had some potato salad. I had some fried fish. What else did I have? I had some hibachi by Cousin Ice. And I refrained from cake. But yeah, pretty much I wasn't on my regimen. So when I got back to work this week, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get back on the grind. I'm going to eat my salads. I'm going to eat my salads, make sure they taste like steak. I'm going to walk my 25 to 30 blocks on my half-hour break. And I'm going to lose a couple more pounds, maybe at least one. You know, because right now I'm down to 203. The end of August, I was 223. Yeah. I'm that dude right now. Yes, I am. And I said, you know what? Maybe I should start incorporating some protein bars into my life. You know, eat a protein bar maybe in the morning, or should I say early afternoon when I get up. And that will hold me and put some sustenance in my tum-tum until I have my 8 o'clock salad. Well, I kind of overindulged in the protein bars yesterday, and I have a severe case of flatulence. So you should be lucky that this is just audio and visual, and this is not smell-o-vision 2023, which they should have had by now, because they had it in the Jetson days, and that was damn near 60 years ago. But I digress. Not only did I have overindulged in the protein bars, I had the Quest protein bar, the lemon cake, and the white raspberry chocolate. White chocolate raspberry, which is actually scrumptious, to tell you the truth. But twofold. One, the situation I'm trying to improve, those things, even though they don't have added sugar, the sugar substitutes really don't help my situation. I will tell you all my situation at a later date. Also, the protein, when you have overabundance of protein, it does give you excessive gas. And because I was getting tired of salads, because I had salads from my favorite salad place near my job, and 2 consecutive days I had a salad, and guess what? 2 consecutive days, about approximately 90 minutes after I ate that salad, I had to inhabit the bathroom for about half the time that it took me to imbibe that salad, if that's such a word. So I think I might have got some contamination. I don't know, but I said, you know what? I'm going to chill. So I had some broccoli. I had some broccoli with garlic sauce. And I had some shrimp with broccoli with no garlic sauce. But broccoli is a gassy vegetable. So needless to say, I've been farting my ass off all effing day. And the inhabitants of this house, they should be happy that I parked myself in the living room to watch the full slate of NFL action. And they know when I'm in the living room on Sundays, even though my Jets did not play this week, steer clear. But I'm quite sure that smell is wasteful through the house. Like, come here. Yeah, so I got to figure out what I'm going to do. I guess I'm going to have to go back to eating my grapes, oranges, and apples for my little snacks until I get my 8 o'clock salad. And then maybe, just maybe, have my grilled salmon, my pan-seared salmon at night and call it a day. I don't know. But, yeah. Besides that, ain't nothing really else happened this week. Except for lack of sleep, but that's a me problem. That's not a you problem. So with all that being said, I guess we need to get this show on the road, right? We need to get this show on the way. So without further ado, good night. And goodbye. Bang! Yeah, man. The 2023-2024 NBA regular season It's about to commence this upcoming Tuesday. Matter of fact, by the time y'all seeing it, tomorrow. And my two teams, even I know y'all probably like, hold on, why are you talking about them first? And y'all, listen, it's a style choice. It's a style choice. Y'all know the dashing one has to coordinate. And it's kind of chilly in here. So I figured I'd break out the sweater. And then I have to keep my streak going. So I said, you know what? Let me pull out, because I don't think I've worn this on air before. Let me pull out the classic Black Wrestling hoodie. Peace to the homies from the Black Wrestling Podcast. The almighty Black Wrestling Podcast. Peace to the homie Cal, Math, Fan, and Queen Mimi. Salute. And so, being the fact I had to put the Black Wrestling on, I had to put the hat to match. You know? Coordinate. Come on. Anyway, if I would have had a Met jersey, if I would have had a Met shirt on, if I had a Knicks shirt on, then I had the Knick hat. And this goes out to one person, and I know they're probably going to curse me out if they choose to view and listen. Because last time I saw this brother, he did give me some input. He said, you know what? I listen to your shit, but I hate when you talk about the Knicks. And I damn sure hate when you talk about the Warriors. Everything else I rock with. Salute, bro. Because we're going to talk about the Knicks today. My bro, D. Clark. What up? Yeah, this year is going to be interesting for numerous reasons. One, because we're actually coming off a season that would be deemed successful by not only the fan base itself, but by the NBA media at large. We got to the second round of the playoffs last year. Now, at the time of our loss against the Miami Heat, I did feel a little bit disappointed because I went into that series fully expecting us to beat the Heat and get to the Eastern Conference Finals. That wasn't the case. Okay. But when I took a step back and looked at everything from a wide point of view, I realized, damn, that was a successful season. We were the number 4 seed, number 5 seed. I think we're number 5 seed. Yeah, we're the number 5 seed, right? We played Cleveland in the first round. We played Donovan Mitchell, and we escorted his ass promptly out of the playoffs 4-1. We have home court advantage for the second round of playoffs. This is the first time we've been in the second round of the playoffs since the MVP caliber Carmelo Anthony year, when we actually won the Atlantic division, and we should have gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Miami Heat at the time, and we ultimately lost to the Indiana Pacers. But look at it this way. For the first time in who knows how long, we actually have a core that we're coming from one season and going into the next season. Jalen Brunson, I don't care what anybody else says. Jalen Brunson is our superstar. Is he superstar and our superstar? We go as far as Jalen Brunson goes. We have Julius Randle coming off his second All-NBA appearance in the last 3 years. He's a good number two. We just picked up and start killing mother effers once we got Josh Hart. Josh Hart is the embodiment of what we used to be back in the 90s, that New York grit, that New York Knick grit. We have RJ Barrett, who did show improve in the World Championships with Team Canada. Hopefully, he can bring that over to his professional team and be more consistent. We have Mitch Robb. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Still got Hartenstein. We picked up a key acquisition. And on the surface, you'll probably be like, I mean, he was kind of mid. I'm talking about Dante DiVincenzo. Yeah, you know, actually, I knew him well last year as a part of the Warriors. But it's a key difference. It's a key difference this year. I jokingly said, I've jokingly said that the Knicks are starting to become the NBA version of the Villanova Wildcats. And we're getting that core back together. The only person we're missing, to tell you the truth, is Mikal Bridges. And tell you the truth, if Brooklyn don't really lock him down, I could see him trying to come over the bridge to MSG and give us 4/5 of that 2-time national championship winning team back in Villanova. I could see that happening. Tell you the truth, you know what else I could see happening? What I could see happening, and this is just pure speculation on my part. I could see if we stagnate, or dare I say, we go backwards this year. Because remember, Tom Thibodeau has not been extended at all. If we go backwards this year, I could see them perhaps ushering Tom Thibodeau out of MSG and giving the keys to Coach Wright. Coach J. Wright, that is. Think about it. The camaraderie between Brenton and Hart was palpable. You add DiVincenzo, a year further along in his return from his knee injury. Let's just say Brooklyn fumbles the bag and allows Mikal Bridges to go on the open market. Or let's just say they implode so much that they got to get some type of, you know, compensation from that KD trade that they thought was going to put them over the hump, but put them right where they was at before of KD, in the trash. Who's to say he don't look over to the garden and be like, you know what? Those my peoples over there. We already won on the collegiate level. We could really take over New York. Just speculation on my part. What I consider a successful season this year is this. RJ makes that ascension to become a star. The New York Knicks, of course, get to the postseason, win at least one round of the playoffs, and battle, and really, truly battle for a place in the Eastern Conference Finals. Because if I look at the Eastern Conference as a whole, yeah, I know Milwaukee, they got a key acquisition that I'll talk about in a few. Boston kind of remade their starting lineup, but at the cost of the depth. Who else is there? Miami. Yeah, you would think that Miami's going to pull something out, pull a rabbit out the hat, because Pat Riley always does, but look, there's a reason why Jimmy Butler was looking the way he was looking. There was a reason why Jimmy Butler was looking and went to go through his little emo phase in his mid-30s. There's a reason. There's a reason why Donovan Mitchell has not been extended in Cleveland yet. Because Cleveland is having second thoughts, have buyer remorse of, is this the man to take us over the hump? Yeah, it got us back into relevance. But is he going to be the man to take us to that next level, to take us to that upper echelon. I don't know. Besides that, who else is there? Charlotte? Charlotte got enough problems dealing with people with legal problems, i.e. Bridges, i.e. Miller. Shoot. The only person they got consistent is Melo, if he can act, LaMelo Ball, if he could actually stay healthy. Who else is there? Philly? Think I'm scared of Philly? Shoot, there's been scuttlebutt in the media last week that Embiid is kind of plotting, trying to get to New York. Personally, I don't want Embiid in New York. I don't want his whining ass. I don't want any part of that whining Philadelphia culture, whether it comes to basketball, baseball, or football in the city at all. Harden is doing his Harden tricks. He's not long for Philly. They got a new coach, Nick Nurse. Okay. Now, Nick Nurse used to be in Toronto. Now, he's not in Toronto anymore. So, what's Toronto left with? Nothing. So, you tell me why the Knicks can't be a top three, top four seed in the East. You tell me why the Knicks can't be an entrant in the Eastern Conference Finals. We got just as much depth as the next man. We got spunk. We got grit. We got just that New York Knick mentality. Listen. I'll call a spade. I might have said this in the past, and if I did, so what? I'm saying it again. The way I consume my sports and I consume my fandom, I split it up into seasons. With football season, football to me, I'm not going to lie, football is king when it comes to me. So pretty much, because we only got 17 games, football gets all of my attention during the season. Even when my team stinks, which they don't, but we'll talk about them next week. So while football season is going, basketball season starts, and I look out the corner of my eye and I keep tabs on my teams. I make sure that the Knicks are, you know, which are keeping their head above water. I look to see if the Warriors are not doing stupid shit early in the season that could cost them later on. I kind of get the feeling of what the league is going to be for this year. But my main focus is football until about January. January, right around playoff time in the NFL, especially if my team has been eliminated, which I don't think is going to be the case this year, but we'll talk about that next week. Then I start getting more engrossed in the NBA product right prior to the All-Star break. And then it's strictly basketball, baby. Baseball season starts, spring training. Yeah. Let me know when it's opening day. Opening day comes. Okay. But that's right around the time of NBA playoffs. So I keep abreast of what's going on with my Amazons. I keep abreast. And then, once basketball season is over with and there's nothing left to do but concentrate, where there's nothing left on the docket but baseball, that's when I get into my Amazons. Before training camp comes, it is back on the hamster wheel again. You mean to tell me this core, And that's leaving out two important pieces of the core, at least one important piece of the core. You mean to tell me that Julius Randle with RJ Barrett, with the general, Jalen Brunson, with the young upstart, Quentin Grimes. Yeah, Quentin Grimes. With Josh Hart and Dante, Black Dante, if you will. You mean to tell me we can't be a top three seed, top four seed in the Eastern Conference? I really truly believe I really want Evan Fournier off the team. I'm sorry. I know we got some Evan Fournier apologists out there, but I want him the fuck off the team. 29 minutes and 40 seconds, first F word. First F bomb. Go me. Because everything I heard in the offseason, he was whining, complaining, talking about, yeah, you know, I'm the type of person that I need to get in the rhythm. No, you're the type of person that when they insert your ass in there, handle your business. But if we don't got no burn for you, if you can't play no defense, guess what? Tibbs is not going to play you. So shut the fuck up until we ship you someplace else. Straight like that. There is one concern, possibly. Just possibly. And that's the absence of Obi Toppin. There was times that Julius Randle either, you know, especially toward the end of the season, tweaked his ankle, tweaked his knee, so forth, that we knew we had something at a close facsimile to what he can give us, at least on the offensive end. And they shipped this ass away. Coincidentally, we got his brother, Jacob Toppin, rookie. And at first, I thought they picked Jacob as a favorite of Obi, which is kind of fucked up that, all right, you get my brother, and then you trade me? But if what we heard was true, if that audio recording that we heard was true, that Obi was about to fuck Tom Thibodeau up over, yo, this, I can see why they did it. I personally think we might have been better off getting rid of Julius Randle, getting some decent compensation for Julius Randle, keeping Obi and growing with Obi. Cheaper option, gets us more flexibility. And you mean to tell me that Obi couldn't work with Jalen and that would actually free RJ up? But that's neither here nor there. I really believe that this season is going to be a good season. This is the first season that I've, in a long time, that I'm actually going into a Knicks season with not false bravado, not false optimism, but optimism nevertheless of, yeah, I could see us actually doing some work. I could see us being that hometown team that not only just the crazies, because I swear, I don't want to hear that bing bong shit. I'm sorry. Look, I come from an era before Knicks tape, because that was some bullshit too. Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong. I was so tired of that shit. It's that younger generation. We don't do that shit. We the New York Knicks. We the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go. That's what the fuck I want to hear in the Garden. I want to hear bing bong. You off a, you know, they got that off the train chime when it's about to close the door. Stand clear to the closing doors. Bing bong. I'm sorry. That just always just grind my gears. Yeah. So I will be giving y'all little updates here and there about what's going on with the Knicks, especially this in season tournament that they're doing in November. I don't know why they're doing it. Adam Silver, I don't know. He must have got some extra shillings from someone to try to spice up the product, so to say. But I don't know. But yeah, New York Knicks, top 3, top 4 in the East, bar none. Now we're going to switch over to the West Coast. West Side. And talk about, well, matter of fact, as the heading says, some quick thoughts on this season's Golden State Warriors. Golden State, for the first time, listen to this. This is not even an interesting stat. This is just a stat nevertheless. For the first time in the coaching career of Steve Kerr, that when they entered the playoffs, they did not end their season in the finals. Think about that. Steve Kerr, 6 appearances in the NBA Finals. Two seasons on the outside looking in. One was the pandemic shortened season, but listen, that was Clay was out, Steph was out, Draymond was doing Draymond's dumb shit. It was right after the loss in the finals against Toronto. Okay, fine. We didn't get to the playoffs. Then the next season, remember, they do not consider the play in the playoffs. So we got in the play in, got bumped in the play in. So this is the first actual time that the Golden State Warriors got into the tournament, got into the postseason, and did not end their season, at least in the finals. We ended our season against the Los Angeles Lakers. We ended our season being eliminated by LeBron James. Ain't that a bitch? No, it's all right.
Well, why'd you give me that face?
I'm talking to my daughter. Why do you mean why I give you that face?
I don't know. I was trying to figure out if it was on or not. I think you just...
Matter of fact, come here real quick.
Okay.
You don't, which grade, if you don't want to be on camera, you don't have to. But just, you know. I'm going to pause this for a minute. As in the NBA talk for a minute. We'll be back to it in 1 minute. I'm going to ask y'all, because this is a little discussion that me and my daughter had. This morning, this afternoon, before she's about to leave for her shoe job, and because I had to go out and take care of some business, so I was outside already, she asked me, she's like, Dad, how is it outside? And I said, you know, it's cool. Well, no, is it cold or is it cool? I'm like, it's cool. Like in the 50s, it's cool. It's not cold, it's cool. She's like, I was like, it's in the 50s. She's like, that's not telling me anything. So I'm like, okay. Now, reason I say this, I'm going to ask y'all. Yeah, that's her black hand on the side. Just wanted to let y'all know. I swear, the way that shit came out, it sounded like I'm a colorist, right? Anyway, I'm asking y'all, and please feel free to answer in the comments, who's right or who's wrong. If I say, okay, it's cool outside, it's in the 50s, do I need to elaborate even more? Or is that suffice to know, okay, you know what? It's not warm enough for me just to wear a sweater. I need to wear maybe a layer because it's in the October. You know, it's a little breezy. It's chilly. It's cool. It's not cold. I consider cold when you can see your breath. That's what I consider cold. Now, what was your point of view? You thought that you can't. Okay, we fast forward to tonight. She comes in right before I'm about to record this, right? And she looks at me. And I'm like, what's the matter? She's like, it's cold. Because she works outside.
Okay, thank you. I was waiting for you to give them a bit of context.
She works outside. But my thing is this, even more so. If you know you're going to be outside for at least 8 hours straight, and I say it's cool, okay. And I did say it's going to be cold when you come home. Did I not give her enough information? Then she had to let me know that there's a reason why. Like, my cold is different than her cold. Because, you know, it just is. But, yeah. So, what information, what did you think I should have told you this morning? Or this early this afternoon? I should have just told you it was cold, and therefore you could have just wore extra layers?
I mean, it's not that, okay, the issue isn't that I didn't wear extra layers. I had this on, plus whatever else I need to put on to be bundled up. But you're just saying, because sometimes, admittedly, the weather's been a little bipolar, so sometimes I'll overdress and it'll be hot outside. Other times, I just wouldn't overdress and it would be freezing, like tonight. But I was prepared, one, because yesterday it was windy. Also, a coworker told me it was going to be colder today than it was yesterday.
Oh, anyway, so she listened to a coworker, but then when I tell her it's going to be cold tonight.
Anyway, I still, that doesn't, you know, what's the word?
Excuse.
No, there's another word, but thank you. I'll use excuse.
Okay.
That doesn't excuse the fact that I still work outside. One, I also told you prior, after I got back, that I am anemic. So yes, your cool is completely different from my cool. My cool is freezing.
Okay, so in that case, then going forward, then if I say it's cool, then you should just say, all right, that if it's cool for daddy, that means it's cold for me.
All right, you know what? Sure.
You know?
I even held up two jackets. Asked you, is it cool or is it cold, right or wrong?
She held up two jackets that were pretty much similar.
No, I said
it's not like she brought up a winter jacket and then a windbreaker.
Can I show them?
Yes. You know what? I know. She's going to give me actually some visual proof. And you be the judge. I know this is not NBA centric, but shoot, I'm giving y'all an episode.
I'm sorry. All y'all teams suck right now. So just.
Okay, so we have, come on.
Wait. Okay, this is the cool, this is so stupid.
Matter of fact, okay. All right, so this is the one that she ultimately wore, right?
And
this is the one, I guess, that I prevented her from wearing.
It's similar.
Do you see any difference?
But this one, the green one, the olive one, it's thicker than this one. This is why.
But you wore the olive one, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay, so that means you wore the thicker one, but yet she's still complaining that it was, that I didn't tell it was cold enough.
Oh my gosh.
Look at this.
You wouldn't get it.
I wouldn't get it.
Mommy gets it. It's okay.
So leave your opinion in the comments, even though there's only maybe like two people that actually comment. So yeah, salute to Tyler, who actually makes my comments look so much better, because as many times I ask people, yo, just put something in the comments. You can say, you know what, Mike, fuck you, put it in the comments. But no, y'all don't even put a fucking emoji in a comment. But whatever, I don't feel a way. I really don't.
You seem like you do.
Oh no, am I triggered? That's the word, right? Am I triggered? That's a good terminology for it. Yeah, you guess so. But put in the comments that you see the two options that I showed. And we got her on tape saying she chose the thicker option. So how is that my fault?
I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm just saying
I didn't give her enough information.
Yeah. Or
but she chose the thicker option.
I just feel like you didn't give her enough consideration given everything that I told you after I came back. Or was that, you know what? I apologize. I guess I realized that falls on me. I should have been like, Dad, remember, I work outside. I'm also anemic, so can you be a little bit more specific?
Or we could go back to what I said of cool for me, but it's cold for her.
I like my version better, but okay. You know,
matter of fact, I'll say like this. From now on, when I say it's in the 50s, I'll tell it's in the 30s so she can prepare herself as if she needs to be an Eskimo.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
I love you, Dad.
Love you, too. Yeah. Now, where was I? Yeah, we talk about some quick, even more quicker thoughts with the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors, I was saying that this last year was the first year they got eliminated, actually in the postseason before the finals. got eliminated by LeBron James, all this bullshit. But what happened in the media aftermath, what happened in the offseason has changed the fabric, if you will, of this Golden State Warriors team. They went from investing over $100 million in the Mr. Poole party, Jordan Poole, to quickly souring on Mr. Poole after he got knocked the fuck out by Draymond Green last year. And he ended up being ostracized to a certain degree from the team. So therefore, there was no way they can go further with Mr. Jordan Poole. So they pulled off this elaborate trade that netted them former arch enemy, arch nemesis, if you will, Chris Paul. So let me get this straight. Right now, I believe we have like the third oldest starting five in the league, something to that effect. We have Steph Curry, who's still in his prime, putting motherfuckers to sleep. We got Klay, who is technically in a contract year. He said he's not bothered. He's not stressing it, but you know, like I know, Killer Klay is trying to get his bread. Killer Klay is trying to reclaim his spot as the second best shooter in the world today. We got Draymond Green that's coming into the season with an injury, I believe his ankle, high ankle sprain. And but more importantly, we have to try to incorporate CP3 into the Golden State Warriors culture, into the offensive culture, if you will. We also have Andrew Wiggins. Hopefully we have Wiggy for the entire year, you know, breaks here and there, but the entire year. We got GP3 again for the entire year, healthy. Loon Dog gonna be a monster as usual. But this is where I think is going. This is where I think the season is gonna hinge, unfortunately. And that's going to be on not so much the health of Chris Paul. It's going to come down to how they incorporate Chris Paul. To me, Chris Paul, even though he said all the great things, the right things in the lead up to the season, about he has no problems, he has no qualms coming off the bench. I believe that's where he needs to start. He needs to come off the bench and anchor that second unit, because that second unit has players that complement him way more than the starting lineup. First of all, starting lineup, we would go ultra small. I'm not saying that you can't play them all together at the same time in bits and pieces, but you could put CP3 in, have Steph off the ball. You have Klay at the three, Wiggs at the four, Draymond at the five. That's formidable, but you can't do, to me, I wouldn't do that for long stretches. You have a perfect pick and roll partner with Jonathan Kuminga with Chris Paul at the helm. You can allow Chris Paul to be as aggressive as he needs to be with that second unit. He can actually galvanize and grow that second unit for seasons to come, because Chris Paul only got about a year left. If you want to be blunt about it, what we need to do is make sure to wrap Chris Paul in bubble wrap so he'd be at least semi-effective in the postseason when he's needed the most. Even though they say otherwise, you can't tell me that the trade for Chris Paul, tell you the truth, is an indictment to me on the culture, if you will, that you would be willing to indoctrinate Chris Paul into the fabric of the Golden State Warriors after all the years, all the wars, all the ill feelings, so to speak, then rather than try to bring Jordan Poole back into the fold and allow him to feel wanted, allow him to feel like he was an integral part in ring number four, in which he was. But I guess for Jordan Poole, he got his ring already. He got his bread. Now he can just do nothing but stats in Washington. Golden State Warriors are ring chasing. The West is formidable, as usual, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. Where do I see Golden State falling in the hierarchy of the West? Interesting. I could see Golden State being a top four team. I don't see them going below top four as long as they remain healthy for the majority of the season. But I could see them being a top four team in the league. I mean, in the Western Conference. When you get to the playoffs, hopefully their lack of size won't come and bite them against other contenders. We have Dario Saric, who is a big that can stretch the floor as I let some gas go. Oh, yeah. We got the rookie, Brandon Podzimski, who they said is not going to be in the rotation to begin with, but from what I saw in the preseason, he might not start the season in the rotation, but there's going to be times that I'm quite sure we would rather have the rookie in the rotation than Corey Joseph. Corey Joseph is all right, you know, but I believe he should only really be an integral part in the rotation if and when CP3 gets injured. Now, before I get into the best of the rest, this goes out to McTyler, because he has reiterated throughout the offseason that he's looking at all us Golden State Warriors fans, Dub Nation, if you will, on how we are going to act when it comes to CP3, because we had mucho shit to talk about when CP3 was on his Phoenix Suns roster. And go figure, guess what the back end of the opening night doubleheader is? Golden State versus Phoenix. Yeah. KD coming to the Chase Center. Shit, tell you the truth, KD coming for the Chase Center for the first, is it the first time ever? Yeah, because he left before the Chase Center opened. But how are we gonna act when it comes to CP3? Because we used to hate CP3, and tell you the truth, to a certain degree, I still hate him. I still don't think he's the best fit. But they tried to get what they could out of that trade, and like I said, they're ring chasing. They figure, you know what? Let's optimize. Let's go all in for Curry's last couple years. And I get it. You know, but I'll say to be continued. I'll say it all depends on how he actually really integrates himself in the culture. I just don't want to see all these stories come out that what a great leader CP3 is and how he brought a fractured locker room together after the mess of last year. I don't want to see none of those quote-unquote LeBron James gang stories that they float out there just to help the perception. I don't want to see none of that. I already see him, you know, on the sideline or pregame talking to the youngsters, which is good. Give them some guidance, but all this head coach on the court, we don't need all that. We just need your fat ass to stay healthy, and we need your ass to not get suspended and just distribute that ball and run that pick and roll with Kuminga. That's all the fuck we need you to do, and help us get ring number five. Top four. Yeah, I said it. Now, best of the rest. Good night, baby. I'll start with the East. The East, as I mentioned when I was talking about my Knicks, the East, they have a couple of new additions. Biggest addition is Dame Lillard. Everybody thought he was going to go to Miami. He was going to go to South Beach. Oh, boy, was everybody mistaken. Portland was like, yeah, you want to go to South Beach. Only time you're going to South Beach is as a visitor, buddy. You're going to Milwaukee. The team over Giannis Antetokounmpo. But to receive Dame, they had to give up an integral piece of their team, of their championship DNA. And that was Jrue Holiday. But everybody knew that Portland was going to keep Jrue Holiday. They were going to flip him for something else. But where was Jrue going to go? Miami was like, all right, well, we couldn't get Dame, maybe we could get Jrue. But they didn't have the assets to get Jrue. Matt Strauss, out of there. Gabe Vincent, out of there. All that. So Miami's kind of stuck with old ass Kyle Lowry, right? They're kind of stuck with a in his feelings Tyler Hero, right? Because all summer, all off season, everybody's like Tyler going to Portland, Tyler getting out of here. Guess what? Tyler's right back at South Beach. There was even some scuttlebutt that maybe the Knicks get into it, because Jrue Holiday. A backcourt of Jrue Holiday and Jalen Brunson. Not bad. Maybe on the size part, but defensive-wise, not bad. We would have had to give a Quentin Grimes and probably Julius Randle and some draft picks. But I think that might have been better. Matter of fact, no. You know where Jrue Holiday ended up going? Boston. So Boston, the one thing they needed was a general, was a floor general. Now you got Jrue Holiday, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Oh yeah, they got some of our garbage, our ex, Porzingis, which I don't give a fuck how he looked in the preseason. Just a matter of time before he gets hurt, or before he starts getting his feelings, and his brother Giannis tells him, you know, Kristaps, you're supposed to be the man. Look, you got the red shade in Boston. This Jason Tatum, this Jaylen Brown, this Black Lives Matter. No, Porzingis time. I guarantee you, Giannis, Janus, or whatever the fuck his name is, his brother, the one that's always been behind the scenes pulling the strings, he's going to get in Porzingis' head talking about, yo, why are you the third option? You better than all of them. And you went in Boston? But Jrue Holiday gives them something that they would have been lacking by when they jettisoned Marcus Smart in, and that's gritty toughness at the point defense. To me, he's a more consistent upgrade over Marcus Smart, who is now in Memphis. He is an upgrade over Derek White, who now can play his role as the off guard, play his role off the bench, and not be the starting point guard. I'm telling you, Boston will be formidable. Bias and, you know, bias aside, yeah, it's probably between them and Milwaukee. The Knicks pulling up the rear number three. I already talked about Philly. Philly, I feel like Philly's going to have a down year because there's too much turmoil between James Harden and Daryl Morey, and how James Harden is really still trying to get out of town. And that's going to actually prevent Tyrese Maxey from getting to that upper echelon. That's going to have Embiid in his feelings with his passive-aggressive ass. And meanwhile, they're going to have to be trying to figure out exactly how Nick Nurse is going to incorporate all this bullshit that he's inherited from the Doc River years. Who else is in the East? The Pacers are going to be interesting. The Pacers should be a postseason team. They got Halliburton. They got Toppin. They still got Turner and all of them. Damn, what the hell is his name? The sniper. Forgot his name. Buddy Hield. They still got him. They're going to be very formidable. But the one thing to be concerned about then, if they get off to a slow start, are they going to stay the course, or are they going to start trying to mix and match? Chicago is Chicago. Adam Levine and DeMar DeRozan, whatever they were going to be a couple years ago, that was their ceiling. I don't see them being a threat, but they'll be a postseason team. Washington be fighting for a play-in. Jordan Poole is going to go off. And that's the East. Now the West, you know, I've been an hour in and I have yet to talk about the defending champions from the Mile High City, the Denver Nuggets, and Nikola Jokic. Perhaps the deepest team in the NBA. They finally put everything together, health, everything came together, and they win the championship. Will they repeat? All depends on health. But you can't tell me that confidence in going the whole way is not going to keep them top dog in the West. You got LeBron coming back for his, what, 21st season? Damn. 21st season. I mean, salute. But this story that came out that Darvin Ham wants AD to attempt at least 5 threes a game. No, what y'all need to make sure is AD stays his ass underneath that basket and dominate like he dominated for points of last season when he wasn't being the scapegoat for the GOAT, self-proclaimed. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened last season that when it comes to the Lakers stink, because when they was on the verge of being knocked out of the post, on the verge of not making the postseason, LeBron wasn't really itching to come and return. But then when AD started and put that team on his back with all the acquisitions and they started gelling, all of a sudden LeBron made a miraculous recovery. It's still the same old bullshit with LeBron, but that's neither here nor there. The Clippers, once again, same old thing. Comes down to health. Comes down to health of the Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi was eating Phoenix alive in the postseason. Him and Westbrook, could have, and they probably would have beat the Phoenix Suns last year if Kawhi did not go down with injury. When it comes to Kawhi injuries, you never know. So that's why you can never really count on the Clippers to be a true contender, but they'll be in the mix. Paul George coming back off his injury. Okay. Now, if they get James Harden, who knows? But I really feel that just having Westbrook on that team and Russ proving all the doubters wrong last year that he was not the problem in LA, at least with the Lakers. And them having arguably the best coach in the league in Ty Lue, can't go wrong. They'll be in the mix. Now, OKC is going to be on the periphery of getting into the playoffs, probably play-in tournament like they did last year. San Antonio with Wembanyama. He's going to be a handful, to say the least. But you can't put them in the mix. But you can't count out Coach Popovich. But they're at least a year or two, a couple more pieces of the way. But Wembanyama is going to be appointment television. Houston with Big Dick Udoka. They got rid of Kevin Porter with his trifling ass. So they might be in a mix because they do have a semblance of talent. They just need discipline. And Big Dick Udoka is going to give them discipline. Yes, he is. Just like he gives. Next subject. But last but not least, when it comes to Phoenix, the Phoenix Suns, and yeah, I'm gonna go down the list. And normally I wouldn't even give them that much time, but I'm gonna give them time, especially for you, McTyler, because you are a devoted listener and viewer. The Phoenix Suns have gone through a facelift. I'm looking at this roster, and I don't know half the people. Well, let's put it this way. I'm going over this roster, and the majority of these people that's on this roster were not here last season. The new acquired player, Bradley Beal, who spent the previous 10 years in Chocolate City, now comes to the dry desert. Does he like? To me, this is going to prove whether or not Bradley Beal has been that dude in a bad situation, or that bad situation has obscured the fact that Bradley Beal was never that dude, and it was always John Wall. Yeah, I said it. Because now he's asked to be is the number three option, and at times the number two option, because you know KD's going to get hurt. Before the season is over, he's going to miss some time with an injury. I'm not calling it. I'm not looking for it. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying spade is a spade. Devin Booker took that next leap, that next step in superstardom last year, but his attitude sucks to me. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know it's personal. But once again, I can't take anything away from his skill set, from his skills. The rest of his lineup, Damian Lee. Okay. Keon Johnson. Eric Gordon, 15 years in the league. Okay. Look, Eric Gordon was giving y'all the business last year in the playoffs, but y'all really counting on Eric Gordon to be an integral part of your team? Grayson Allen. Matter of fact, here's one for you. Just like you're going to be having a keen eye on all these Golden State Warrior fans on how they're going to react to I ain't frozen. To CP3. I'm going to have a keen eye on how y'all react to cheating ass Ted Cruz. Oh, my bad. Grayson Allen. Because you know he has never seen no balls he won't hit. He was never seen a foot he won't trip. He was never seen a cheap shot he would not take. Is everything going to be tranquilo? When it comes to Grayson Allen and his inevitable cheap shot? Jusuf Nurkić? He's an all right player when he's healthy. You know, there was a time, believe it or not, do you know that the Denver Nuggets had Nurkić and Jokić at the same time? and they chose the right jitch. Yes, they did. So, Bobo. All right. Bobo should be what Wembanyama is. But for some reason, Bobo hasn't played Bobo that good. And Damian Lee, his claim of fame is the fact that he's fucking one of the Curry sisters. Yeah. So, looking at this lineup, y'all top heavy. To think, 2 years ago, y'all had a core of Booker, Paul, Ayton, Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, and decent depth. Out of those 5-6 players I mentioned, you only have Booker left. I said this last year, and I'll say it again. If y'all would have allowed Mikal Bridges to be all that he could be, maybe, just maybe, y'all could have, achieved what y'all achieved. But no, y'all figure, you know what? We're going to get rid of Monty Williams. We're going to bring in Frank Vogel. What kind of name is that? Frank Vogel. I mean, even though he's way younger than his name would indicate, Frank Vogel, winner of the bubble chip. As soon as everything got back to normal, guess what? His ass got promptly kicked out of LA. And good for y'all. But yeah, so if I'm gonna give any predictions, fuck it, why not? I could see an NBA Finals matchup of, I'm gonna be total Homer Simpson here. The Golden State Warriors going for number 5 against the Milwaukee Bucks. Why? I have no idea. And I was totally off the top of the head. And I do hold the right to, I reserve the right to change my opinion. But right now, I can see Golden State and Milwaukee, Golden State winning number 5. Tell you the truth, how about this? And don't hold me to it, but I could see a matchup of the Denver Nuggets and the New York Knicks. It's been, about 50 years almost since our championship. Nice round number. Possibility. Believe the impossible dream. The incredible impossible dream. Yeah, I think that's possible. So, yeah. And that's my off the top of the head, Mike Steph's off the top of the head NBA preview for the 2023-2024 season. Now, because I'm looking at this time, it doesn't look like I'm getting this shit under 90 minutes, but I'm going to try anyway. Now, to get into some football real quick, Mike Steph must have bumped his mother effing head because my gambling has sucked. I have yet to hit on a parlay this season, 7 weeks in. Now, that's not to say that some of my picks haven't been on the money. It's just the fact that I get too greedy when it comes to these damn parlays. So today I did 3 parlays. The first one was a 5-leg parlay, strictly spreads. And I thought I had a good chance of covering these spreads. I had Detroit plus 3. Detroit got slaughtered by the Baltimore Ravens, 38-6, and it wasn't even that close. Like, I turned on a game, and it was like 14-0 as soon as I turned it on. And I, when I say turned it on, I mean it, I checked the stats. So right then and there, yeah, once I saw it was like 28-0 and a half, I'm like, fuck, this probably is down the drain. But just to show you that I'm not off my rocker, Big Blue, I had plus +3 because they always play Washington close, and they beat Washington 14-7. Even though numerous times they tried to give up that game, but a win is a win is a win. The Patriots, I had plus +7.5. Not only did they cover, they beat the Buffalo Bills at home 29-25 in the last seconds. The Cleveland Browns, I had them covering minus -3.5. They won, but they won by one. And a last second touchdown by Kareem Hunt. But like I said, my parlay already blew. But this is how my mind was working. Because I'm thinking, at the worst, if Detroit lose, they're not going to get blown out. Now, this is where I start second-guessing my gut. And even though I know they're not watching, I was speaking to someone on Friday. And they were telling me about their gambling forays. They was telling me about the round robins and how they hit last week $800 on a round robin. And if I would have did a round robin, I probably would have recouped something. And maybe that's something I need to look into since I'm trying to do these parlays. Because I say the same shit every week. Yo, I need to stop going for the gusto. I need to break down these parlays into, let's say, just three legs or whatever. And then I do these 5, 10 leg parlays and never hit. The Raiders, I had minus -2.5. But that's actually a bet that I changed, because I had the Bears plus +2.5. And then I looked and saw, oh, yeah, Justin Fields is not playing. Who's this quarterback? Oh, I don't trust that quarterback, because if they lose with Justin Fields, they're not going to win with this guy. So, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to go with the Raiders until I forgot that the Raiders ain't shit. The Raiders suck. Josh McDaniels is a horrible coach. And, of course, they lost in Chi-Town 30-12. So, you know what I did? I said, you know what? I'm going to double down. I'm going to do some insane 10-pick parlay with some single-game parlays mixed in. I did the Arizona Cardinals and Seattle Seahawks. And this was mostly Prop Bet City. I had Kenneth Walker plus +75. Yep. I had Joshua Dobbs plus +25. Yep. I had Tyler Lockett plus +40. Alternate receiving yards. Nope. And I'm like, really? So Seattle won, but you couldn't get me 40 yards, Lockett? Really? Then I went to the next game, well, the marquee game of the late slate. The Chiefs and the Chargers. I had Justin Herbert for over 250 yards passing. Yep. Mahomes plus +225. Yep. Eckler combined rushing and receiver plus +75. Nope. Isaiah Pacheco had plus +50 rushing and receiving. Kelsey had plus +50 receiving. Austin Eckler. And that's these running backs. I'm not going to say it now, but tune in this week, because I have a good inkling of what my one big thing is going to be on Hidden Gems Football. Because these running backs are fucking me over. And they want to know why they ain't getting paid. Tell you why y'all not getting paid. Because you're not helping pay us. Now, the nightcap hurt. The nightcap hurt something awful for two reasons. So the nightcap was the Dolphins and the Eagles. once again, did Prop Bet City. This one was an 11-leg single-game parlay. Let's go for the ones that I actually got. Jalen Hurts, anytime TD scorer, bingo. Tyreek Hill, anytime scorer, bingo. Philly, covering the three, bingo. Tua, plus 200 yards, alternate passing yards, bingo. Devontae Smith, plus 25 yards, alternate receiving yards, bingo. Jalen Waddle, plus 25, alternate receiving yards, bingo. Tyreek Hill, plus 80 yards receiving, bingo. A.J. Smith, plus 60 yards receiving, bingo. Now, how many did I just read off? Like seven? See, that was my problem. I should have just took what I got and just got the fuck about it. But I'm like, no. I gotta eat. I'm figuring Raheem Mostert is going to give me something. So I figured, you know, I'm not going to go too hard, but alternate rushing and receiving. A-Chain is out. He should be their featured running back. They do utilize him out the backfield. He should give me 75 total yards. The horror, the shock, when I saw Mostert fully healthy on the sideline the majority of the first half. He ended up with, I believe, like 55 total yards. If they would have implemented his ass in the first half, I would have won. But you know, that would have been for naught, because guess what? I had Jalen Hurts plus 25, and he actually got over that threshold. He had about 28 rushing yards until the kneel downs. Not only until the kneel downs, to the final kneel down, where he didn't do not one, but he took 2 yards backwards to kneel down to officially end the game. And he lost 2 yards and put me under the threshold, which was 24 yards. So even if Raheem Mostert would have won and got me my big parlay, Jalen Hurts would have cost me. So what the fuck am I supposed to do? You know what? There's two things I'm thinking in my head. Either one, next week, I'm going to just take a chill pill. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do fantasy, and I'm going to chill. I'm just going to chill. Or what I might do, because it seems like my mind is in the right place, I'm just too greedy. What I might do is whatever selections we have that we make, matter of fact, whatever selections I make, on HGF Hidden Gems Football this week, I will actually put my money where my mouth is, and I will actually bet the exact games that we go over on HGH, and just to see exactly how I come. I think that might be the way to go. Just give me some type of incentive, because right now I done lost my swagger. My swagger's a little tilted. I'm a little off. And I don't know what the fuck is going on. So, yeah. Mike Steph must have bumped his mother effing head for this week. Is Mike Steph needs to stop being so greedy. And Mike Steph needs to just take the gimmies and stop going and trying to think I'm going to win the fucking lottery. Because I ain't. Because right now, my pockets are being killed with 1,000 slits. 1,000 nicks. So, yeah. Anywho, since I just mentioned Hidden Gems Football, I figured I'd give you a little taste of what we did this past week, and what a taste of what y'all can get each and every week, each and every Thursday, on Hidden Gems Football. Take it away.
Game, and it is a doozy. The Miami Dolphins heading to Philadelphia to face the Eagles. The Eagles are 2-point favorites here, and the total is 52 points. That means that Vegas is saying that the Dolphins will score 25 points and lose to the Eagles, who will score 27. Steph, what do you think is going to happen here? Who do you like?
I don't like neither one of them. I can't stand these two teams. I can't, but I'm gonna remain unbiased for the sake of our arguments. The teams they've beaten have a combined total of 5 wins. Think about that. If you even look closer, 4 of those teams only have 1 win each. Now, for the Eagles and their entitled, annoying, whining piece of fan base, they're coming off a loss to my New York Jets. Jalen Hurts had a poor game despite throwing for 280 yards because he had 3 interceptions, which brought him up to 7 interceptions for the season so far. Do you know he only had a total of 6 all last year? So, yeah, my picks, under for the total, Eagles money line, Eagles to cover the spread, and the Dolphins get clipped.
Yeah, I like the way you looked at that, because if Philadelphia is going to win, in my opinion, they have to keep this under and have a little bit of ball control, which should be about their game. Meanwhile, I didn't like it. And, you know, a lot of it is the Jets defense for sure. If I'm looking at either one of these teams right now and just thinking, like, which one of them I expect to see in the Super Bowl off of what I've seen the last couple weeks, I have to lean towards Miami over Philadelphia, which makes me think that I am going to pick the Dolphins to win, which means they're also going to cover a spread. I like the total. I think if anything, I'm going to bet the Dolphins to win and leave it at that. That total makes me nervous.
See, how could I be so on the money? On HGF, but yet not really cash in on how much money that I should be making. I had the Eagles to cover. I had the Eagles outright for the money line. And I said they were going under. But yet, what did I bet? I bet prop bets. The fuck? Like I said, I got about 2 or 3. I got 2 days to figure out what I'm going to do. Matter of fact, I got a whole week to figure out what I'm going to do next Sunday. Concerning this problem that I have with betting. So yeah, outro. That brings us, matter of fact, you know what? I was going to leave this alone. Yeah, I am going to leave it alone. Fuck it. That brings us to the end of another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike's Step podcast. I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me the podcast y'all choose to view and the podcast y'all choose to listen to. Next week, we'll be back in the saddle with my New York Jets when they engage in the battle for New York supremacy against Big Blue, the G-Man, the New York Football Giants. So, of course, I'll be front and center with my takes, with my thoughts, with my concerns over what I witnessed in that game. And if time permits, I'll talk about, I'll give a quick thought for the openings on the opening games for my New York Knickerbockers and my Golden State. Well, yes. Yeah. So that's what's going to be on deck next week. For the sake of time, like I said, I kind of got ixnayed about talking about Miss Jada Pinkett and her numerous lies, rumors, and lies. But at the end of the day, if Will Smith like it, I guess I love it. That's why I really chose not to talk about it, because I figured like this. Everybody has their opinion. Everybody talking about, oh, she's doing real wrong. She's driving Will to the nut house, blah, blah, blah. She didn't dig which girl. She's doing real dirty, but Will's still riding with it. So if he's riding with it, who the hell am I to tell to which guard to give my point of view. Because at the end of the day, my point of view don't really matter. Yeah, I can have some jokes, but at the end of the day, to me, their whole situation is a joke. Making everything public for the almighty buck is a joke. And they're going to have to deal with that situation themselves at the reckoning. Not I. So, F it. I'm going to leave it alone. Yeah, I know it's a little clickbait. No, not really. A little pump face, perhaps. But at the end of the day, I just realized it's not really that serious. What is serious is the Saucy Thoughts of Mike Step podcast being available on the following platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Oh, don't forget Amazon Music. New episode drop on Wednesdays, even though I did not drop this past Wednesday. So that means, guess what? Y'all going to get two episodes this coming week. Check me out on X at Mike Steffens, _, formerly known as Twitter. Check me out on the gram at Mike _Steph. And check me out on TikTok at Mike Steph _. And while you're doing all that, check me out also on Hidden Gems Football, hosted by the Mojo King and myself, Mike Steph. New episodes drop each and every Thursday on the YouTube page of the 19 Media Group. Yeah. Fuck it.
Watch this.
Bump, zip it, bump, zip it. No, Stone Cold Gentleman.
It is something that I can't explain about you, baby.
Oh, man, shoot. Then you had,
I thought it was me. Thought it was me that made that girl this way. I thought it was me. Thought it was me.
Yo, I swear, I broke out a couple dance moves at the wedding a couple years ago. Shoot, they don't call me the tap dance kid for nothing. Yeah, I know. Only Mike Steph right here on Hidden Gems Football.
Are you doing I Dream a Genie? What's going on there? That's weird. All right.
See, that's what teamwork is for. He doesn't let me just jump off a ledge. I don't find nothing weird about this. Is it uncomfortable? Yeah. Is it a little unorthodox? Yeah. Tell you the truth, I was trying to simulate the human suplex machine Taz, but it didn't come across that way, so whatever. Before I get out of here, let me give a quick shout out to Winchester and McDowell of Gimmick Infringement. Keep doing your thing. Give a shout out to my bro, Money Mike. Give a shout out to my lovely wife, the lovely Mrs. Ooh. Give a shout out to my sister, my sweet dear sister, Sister Ooh, and the whole Ooh family. And with all that being said, I guess I'll check y'all next week, right? Same Mike Steph time, same Mike Steph channel. And all because I didn't bang y'all in the head like I did last week, trust and believe, Mike Steph is still a handsome, debonair, dashing son of a gun. Woo! Shit. Let me get out of here. Goodbye.
Bye.
Always greener. Wake the fuck up and stop being such a dreamer. The Overcrew showed me, made me a believer. Matrix unplugged, gotta pack the Nina. Ooh. would have thought it'd be like this? Two half his hands from the trees on my lips. Took time for granted, now ain't that a bitch? My quest to live high made my whole world flip. Now every other week I have to pick up a script. The stresses in my life make me feel like shit. The last 2 years, love my bro and my kid. The over civil line and reunited with my sis. My heart flutters, speech stutters, car sputters. Trying to find a joy in life before they close my shutters. New since a young and I wasn't like the others. Spirit outnumbered the physical, no covers. That I face all my fears. Feelings make me numb from the bud in the beers. Now I'll be free to understand all my tears. All parts of my past starting to unravel. Five deaths accounting or a lot for me to tackle. Doubled up the therapy, prepared for the battle. Due to the view, being sober worth the hassle. So used to Donnie, helping the mourn mommy. Stripped of my vices, revealing the calm me. Process the progress, this journey's alarming. Now I got a grand, living round the palm trees. Thoughts are positive, but I'm scared for my future. Every palpitation make me feel my end sooner. Used to take pills to make me seem cooler. Now I'm taking daily, hopefully don't make me neutered.